I had another man offer, another brother down here offer to help me, and I told him, I said, I believe I can do it. So we appreciate it just the same as it. Thank you, Brother Doug. We're thankful we can be here this morning. Always good to be with the people of God and in the house of the Lord and to hear the Word of God proclaimed. I won't go into it, but I've been on that cane about 8 years now, and I did have a fall the other day, but I didn't fall from grace. That's the important thing. I would invite you to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings this morning, chapter 22. 2 Kings, chapter 22. And I told Brother Doug III that I knew why he preached the message he preached this morning. It just sets my message up. Now, his is more clear than mine, but mine will be pretty good if the Lord blesses. If the Lord doesn't bless, we don't have any ability of our own. We might think we do sometimes, but we don't, and the older we get, the more we should understand that. In chapter 22 of 2 Kings, we read Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. That's pretty young, isn't it? I believe he was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He died then at 39, didn't he? We'll do a little math here this morning. And his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adaiah of Basketh, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That's very important, young people and older and middle age, to do that which is right. In whose sight? The sight of the Lord. And walked in all the way of David, his father. Not his earthly father, but in the David, the man after God's own heart, in his line. And turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, 18 and 8, how old, young fellas? 26, right? When he's 26, something happens to Josiah. The king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them, literally, pay their bills. Let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, and have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully, because they were honest. Some of us are old enough today to remember when everybody said a man's word was his bond. What he said he would do. We must have it in writing today. Business is business today. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law. Must have been lost then, mustn't it? I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, brought the king word again, and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house. We've done what you told us to do, and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. He tore his clothes. That was a sign of grief in those days. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahiram. Now Josiah commanded these, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah the servant of the king, say, "Go ye inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us." Why? Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that which is written concerning us. I'd like to preach a little while this morning on the subject of the powerful Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is the power of God unto salvation. If you're here without the Lord this morning, then pay close attention to what the Bible says on every subject. The Word of God is powerful. You remember before Josiah, there had been three other kings. Josiah's dad was an evil king. If your parents happen to be evil, you don't have to be evil. And if your parents are good, you may not be good. You'll be good depending on what you think of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But Hezekiah and Josiah are good kings. But Hezekiah had a bad son, Manasseh. He had a bad son, an evil son, by the name of Amon or Ammon. I don't know how to pronounce it particularly, but that doesn't matter. So the last four kings in Jerusalem, two had been good and two had been evil. Josiah was a good king. It told us that in verse 2 of chapter 22 here. You know, this is a wonderful testimony for a leader. I wish we could say that our president is a good man. I believe he's on the right track. I voted for him, and I would vote for him again. I don't try not to do anything that I mind people knowing what I've done. But I know he's conservative. I know the man before him tried to ruin our nation and our peace and tranquility. But our president has a foul mouth, and it's a shame. And we need to pray for him, and I believe you do. I know I do. But it's a wonderful testimony for it to be said truthfully of a leader that he does that which is good in the sight of the Lord. My prayer to the Lord for Mr. Trump is that he'll be brought to know the Lord, and then the things he does will be based upon glorifying God, just like the things we do ought to be. But whether it be a governmental leader or a religious leader, or the leader that God has appointed for every Christian home, it should be able to be said of us that he is one who does good in the sight of the Lord. If we don't have this testimony, it'll be impossible for us to serve God acceptably in this life. So leaders have great responsibilities. We must manifest integrity in our lives. About the only time I hear the word integrity anymore is right before an election. Everybody's a man or woman of integrity. Well, of course, we know that's not so. But we as God's children, as His preachers and or pastors, as leaders in the community, it ought to be said of us that we are people of integrity. And by that word integrity, I mean that we are honest, that we pay our bills, that we talk right, that we dress right. I said it. That we dress right, that we act right. You know, the Bible tells us many things. In Ephesians 4:29, it tells us to let no corrupt communication proceed from our mouths, but that which is good, that it might minister unto those who who hear it. And you know, God says in Exodus 11, verse 7, that he was talking to the children of Israel. He said, "Not a dog shall lift its tongue against you. No barking." You know, I can't stand a barking dog at nighttime. Makes me want to get my gun. It really does. And I like peace and quiet. And the other thing I can't stand anytime is what this world calls music, because it's just a bunch of racket. But God said about his people, he said, the nation's about you. A dog's not going to lift its tongue against you, because I want them to know that I have put a difference between you and the Egyptians. And that's what he did for us who are saved today. He's put a difference between us and the world, and we need to live like that has happened. And when we've discovered the Word of God, then it will be true. When this book, the powerful Word of God, was found, what was Josiah doing? He was distributing the money to the workers. He was doing that which was right. Now I want us to note three things this morning: the Word discovered, the Word believed, and the Word observed. Probably won't have much time for that. I didn't make good use of my time in Winston-Salem. I left out the most important part of my message, and I looked up, and you know, Brother Andy had that big clock back there, and everything was zero. And I thought, my goodness, I'm not going to be able to even get in what I wanted to get in. But if you were there, you saw a lot of what I saw. Pretty short dresses and skirts. And I didn't get to my verse in Timothy there, where it tells ladies how to be Christian ladies. Well, I'm going to try not to do that today. But I want us to note, first of all, the Word discovered. It was found. Look at verse 8 again. Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law." That's just like us saying today, "I found the Bible." A lot of people have a big family Bible opened up on the coffee table, and it's just there for show. We've never owned a family Bible. I don't think much of them. I know you can keep records in them, but the Bible's not to keep records in. You can get a piece of paper and keep records in it. The Bible is to be discovered and believed and to observe. So one you can carry with you is of much more importance. It had been lost for 57 years. In Manasseh's reign, 55. In Amon's reign, 2. So it had been lost for a long, long time. Makes me want to ask the question, how long has it been lost in America? I remember when it wasn't lost at least to the great degree that it is lost today. And then I would ask a follow-up question, has it been lost in our families? It must have been, unless we read it every day, and unless we try to teach it to those who come under our roof, and in particular, if you have children in the home, and our neighbors are to see our walk coincide with what the Word of God says. So it had been lost for a long time. In verses 3 to 7, we read that. And also back in chapter 22, verses 21 and 22, the Bible says of Ammon, Josiah's dad, and he walked in all the ways that his father had walked in Manasseh's ways, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them, and he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. Now, if we're going to walk after idols, it's self-evident that we have forsaken the ways of the Lord. Well, what's happened in our great country of America? And I want to see America made great again. I really do. That's one of the great desires of my heart. We passed by the door of a lady the other day where we spent the winter because Beverly was the sick one of our family last year, and we went up to the Seasons and spent the winter there. And this lady is a real liberal person. She said of the sign I've got about anti-abortion on my car one morning, she said, "I don't like your sign." I said, "Well, you must be a liberal." And she's 91 years old, and on her door she has a big sign, "Stop Trump." I told Beverly if we were to go back this winter, I would want to get me a sign to say, "Get behind Trump." Well, that's not my message, but what's happened in America? Well, prayer is disallowed to the extent they can disallow it in our schools. And that happened a long time ago. But young people, if you're in public school, and I hope you're being schooled at home, if you're in public school, I'll get you in trouble here now. You tell the teacher she can't keep, or he can't keep you from praying. Because we don't have to speak to pray. We read in the Bible that the lips move sometimes only in prayer. Wasn't that true of Samuel's mother? What was her name? I can't think of it right now. Somebody knows Samuel's mother's name. Well, that's not important either. But our religious leaders also. What's taken the place of prayer? Well, the filth of this world. That's what's taken the place of prayer. Do you notice how boys and girls dress today? Going to school? My mother wouldn't have let me out of the house dressed like that. The boys in baggy pants that are ready to fall the rest of the way off. Girls in shorts and short skirts. And then they want to know, well, why is there so much rape and all that kind of thing? Well, that's the reason why. Exactly. And then our religious leaders, they deny the second coming. They deny there's a heaven. They deny that there is a hell. And they deny, of course, the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know anything about it. They have doubts as to whether His blood was ever shed or not. Matthew 15 and verse 9, Jesus says, "But in vain they do worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And so this book was read when they found it. You know, it isn't enough just to find the book. We must read it. And we must read it to our children. Timothy's mother and grandmother evidently read it to him. Some people say, well, you know, a child's dead in trespasses and sins. They can't understand it anyway. No, the man Jesus says, bring forth your arm that was withered. He couldn't do that either without the power of God. But Jesus told him to do it. And He commands all men everywhere to repent. And you can't repent, but you will if the Holy Spirit grants you that ability to repent. And I believe it was all read. We need to be familiar with all of it. Now I got to go to point number two, because three-fourths of my time is up already. Where does it go? Your time don't go like that when I'm sitting back there. Well, we got to believe the Word. Now look at verse 11. "Came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes." Sounds like conviction to me. "And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and these others that he names there, saying, go ye inquire of the Lord for me." For me. We need to realize personally the benefits of the Word of God. And not only for me, remember he was the king, but for the people. Inquire for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. You know, Shaphan had read it to the king, and the king believed it. And when you really believe something, it spurs you into action. If you have cast off devotions in your home, then ask God to forgive you, and tonight make sure you begin them again. Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We don't have time for the Lord today. That's one thing that is hurting us terribly in the day and age in which we live. Now I read about another man In Jeremiah 36, verses 22 and 23, I'm not going to turn there, but this man didn't, the Word of God was found and it was read to him, but it didn't have any effect upon him. When they would read it to him, he'd take a penknife and cut out the leaves and cast it into the fire that was burning there on in the fireplace. But not so with Josiah. The same thing happened when Paul preached. In Acts 28, we're told that some believed and some believed not. When I was a young preacher, I thought, well, all I've got to do is preach the truth and everybody will just flock. They'll believe the truth. But boy, did I have a rude awakening coming, and it's still a rude awakening. When the eunuch wanted to be baptized, what did Philip say to him? He said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And the old eunuch said, I believe with all my heart. And as our old pastor used to say, as Philip went on, he said, whoa, Maud. And he saw a whole lot of water over here. He saw water over there enough to immerse a man in. And he baptized him. He rent his clothes, as we've said, a sign of grief. He sent to be inquired of by the Lord. You'll notice Lord is all capital letters there, which means Jehovah, God. He wanted to go to the top. He didn't want to be inquired of another man, or even of his wife, or even another king, or the soothsayers of the day, but he wanted to be inquired of by the false prophet. He didn't want to be inquired of the false prophets, but of Jehovah, God. And then the lost must believe this book, and they will believe it if they are ever saved. We must believe that salvation is proclaimed to us through the Word of God. We must believe some things about Jesus Christ, that He was virgin born, that He is God manifest in the flesh, that He's sinless, has not the capability of committing sin. He's equal with the Father. And then we must believe this book in order to be happy. It must be our guide, and our minds must be fixed upon it. I've got to say a few words now in my last 7 or 8 minutes about the word observe. You know, we can find the word, though it be lost. We can find it, but unless we believe it, we'll never have the desire and hence the ability to observe the Word of God. This is one great downfall of America today and of the average home, and could I not say truthfully of the average Christian home. Everything goes on except the Word of God read, and prayer made, and Bible study with the children, and what not. But look at 2 Kings 23 and verse 3 here. It says, and the king stood by a pillar. Not a pillow, but a pillar that holds up something. And made a covenant. Now this is what we're going to have to do if we're going to be happy, if you haven't already made this covenant. This is God's people. And he made a covenant before the Lord. You know, a marriage covenant's before the Lord, isn't it? We have a young couple here who hadn't been married long. We love them dearly. And I trust that they've made a covenant, that their home's going to be a Christian home, that the Word of God is going to be read and studied and talked about between them. And he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord. Oh, it's not easy to walk after the Lord unless you're saved. And then you'll have all kinds of stumbling blocks also. And to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. For a while they all stood to it. They said, we agree with you. We're going to stand with you. We agree with this covenant. Now the king made a covenant to walk after the Lord. A lot of times people say when you're preaching from the Old Testament, well, I know, preacher, but that's Old Testament. That's the Word of God. It is Old Testament, but that's a part of the inspired, infallible, greatly needed in our day, Word of God. We come over to the New Testament. What do we find in Ephesians 5? Ephesians 5, verse 2, we're commanded to walk in love. And in chapter 5 and verse number 8, we're told to walk in light. Who is the light? He's the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told to walk circumspectly. What in the world does that word mean? Well, it means to walk above the world, not in tune with the world. If we're in tune with the world, then we haven't found the book, probably, and we certainly have not believed it. And then to keep His commandments. I want to turn over to the Gospel according to John chapter 14 and read three verses here. Or to comment on three verses, I might read four. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments. Now notice as we go through these. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Do you love the Lord this morning? Well, do you keep the commandments of the Lord? Jesus says, if you are, and I know none of us keep His commandments without fail. But do we have a desire and do we try our dead level best to keep His commandments? He said, if you do, he it is that loveth me. He doesn't say anybody else, but He says, he that hath my word and keep my commandments, and keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Nobody else loved of the Father, but those who have the commandments, God's word, and those who keep them. And He says, I will love him and will manifest myself to him. What's the most important for God and His Son and the Holy Spirit to love us? Or for this world to love us? The answer goes without speaking, doesn't it? Jesus has told us. Verse 23, for sake of time. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, gets a little stronger now, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Who do you want to make their abode with you? First of all, it's God the Father, God the Son, the Trinity, if you will, of God. And then verse 24, he that loveth me not. Now, if you have a problem with this, or have taken up the Lord, I wasn't called to preach what my congregation wants to hear. I was called to preach what the Bible says, and I'm just reading it right out of the Bible. I hope you'll read it again, and I will too this evening. But he says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And I say to you, dear ones, what I have just read is not my word, but it's the word of my God, and that he received from his Savior. So he made a covenant to keep his commandments. We need to keep his commandments at all cost. I must read Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 10. You know, this is a great little book telling us how to live. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Serve God with everything that is within you, dear friends. I have a burden this morning for our churches and for people who profess to be saved but don't live like they're saved. Whatsoever your thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. Our work shall be over when our body is interned and gone, going back to the dust of the earth. Well, he observed that commandment. And you'll find more about this in the 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles. You'll find more about it, an enlargement upon it, and wish we had time to go there, but we don't. Thank you for your kind attention. Thank you for the invitation, brother and church, and thanks for everything. Your prayer.
Our Heavenly